This episode is brought to you by Disney+.
If you're loving the new original series Rivals, then Rivals, the official podcast, is a must listen.
Hosted by the brilliant Pandora Sykes, this is your go-to for exclusive insights into how the steamy world of Rivals came to your screen.
Pandora dives into the juiciest moments and sauciest scenes alongside the creative masterminds behind Rivals, from executive producer Dominic Treadwell Collins to actors Danny Dyer and Emily Attek.
Listen to Rivals, the official podcast, but make sure you've streamed Rivals on Disney Plus first. You can't escape spoilers. Rivals, an original new series now streaming exclusively on Disney Plus.
Copyright 2024, Disney and its related entities, 18 plus subscription required. Learn more at DisneyPlus.com.
If you or someone you care about has cancer, Macmillan Cancer Support's online community is here to help from day one. Macmillan's free online forum provides a safe space to get support from both experts and others who've been there. Members support each other anonymously, sharing what's helped them on a range of subjects, from dealing with side effects such as hair loss and fatigue, to money worries and managing work, or talking with children about a diagnosis. There are different forums on cancer types or experiences, opportunities to ask an expert, and blog posts. Find support 24/7 from people who get what it's like to have cancer. To join, search Macmillan Online Community.
Hey, podcast listeners. Have you heard? You can listen to your favorite podcasts ad-free. Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.co.uk/ad-free podcasts. That's amazon.co.uk/ad-free podcasts to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today for a very, very messy episode of the Real Housewives of Orange County recap. We're not going to be messy, I don't think, but the show is messy. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, hello, my little Benuni Tunes. How are things going over there?
Things are great. I really cannot wait to dive into this episode because it kind of blew me away. But before we do that, we actually have like a really...
blow you away?
It did. Like within
15 minutes... Not to oversell it or anything.
No, well, because within like the first 10 minutes of the show, I was like, this episode is already so messy. Like it is wild the number of things that are going on in this show. But especially when you compare it to like New York earlier this week where it was like, I'm making a pavlova. So let's be honest. But before we do that, we actually have like a really exciting announcement. This is something we've been slightly teasing over the past month or so. It's something we've been working really hard on in the background to try to make things better. We've been talking a lot about how we're going to be streamlining our Patreon. And we're really excited to announce that we are finally making our Patreon a monthly subscription instead of a quote-unquote per creation. We've talked about this before. When we first started up with Patreon in 2014, 10 years ago, you know, you could we set it up that like you like subscribe by creation. So like the idea was like, you know, you put out one podcast a week or a month, and that was the per creation. But you know, we put out like a million podcasts. So there's this whole bureaucratic thing that we've had to do in the past where we say, well, we do this many podcasts, but we're only going to designate some of them as creations. And then it's very confusing. And we tell people to put on caps and da, da, da. All our discussion that we ever have about you got a cap, you got a cap, you got a cap, it's all going to go out the window. It's just a straight up monthly subscription going forward, starting in November. And if you're already a Patreon subscriber, first of all, thank you. But second of all, nothing will change for you. Your subscription will automatically convert into a monthly subscription, but you will be like nothing will change in terms of what you are paying. It only changes if you change your payment method or change your tier, etc. But going forward from November 1st onwards, all new, well, really everyone who signs up, it's going to just be monthly. It will hopefully, this will take out a lot of confusion that's been on, you know, for people trying to deal with our Patreon of late. And we're really sorry for all that confusion that that's caused. It's been a headache all around for everyone. And we're just hoping this just makes everything easier for everyone. So that way there's one less barrier to between all of us and the fun stuff. So that is our big announcement. And if you have any questions, obviously, you can reach out to us and Patreon, etc. But hopefully,
TLDR, it was a clusterfuck, and it's not going to be a clusterfuck anymore.
Yeah,
which is so great. So yeah, thanks for everybody who's helping, and thanks for everybody who's so patient on Patreon with us. We love it. We love being there. This is on Patreon right now. This video. So
yes, it is.
Our videos from every day over there. Let's get started on this bad boy, Real Housewives of the Orange County. County Orange.
County Orange. I made a hot take on Twitter and I said this was Orange County's messiest episode since Naked Wasted. Although Michael Horn, friend Michael Horn, I think it was its messiest episode since then. Michael Horn, though, mentioned that Ireland, the one with Kelly Dodd where they tried to get her drunk, that was also a pretty messy one as well. You don't think it was the messiest one since then?
Well, Naked Wasted was sexual assault, so I don't know that I would put it on the same
Naked level Wasted. That. Naked Wasted was so messy that, meaning that like it's like, oh my god, this is wild what is happening on this episode, and I think that I think this episode was, I honestly I couldn't believe it. I thought this episode was so off the rails, like the amount of stuff that was being dug up and thrown into the sphere to try to, like, you know, get people to different people's sides, the amount of issues people had, and just it was just wild. I don't know, maybe
this is shameless housewifery. Like, we're seeing completely inside now, you know. They've really started dropping that fourth wall on the show, and it's been super fun to watch kind of some behind the scenes stuff. Or I mean, I remember when they started mentioning Twitter or Instagram and stuff like that. That was a huge step because they used to not be allowed to say that. And so we used to call that housewife social media because they would always be like, well, I heard from somewhere, and always Twitter or something. And so now that was a huge thing, but now they're just straight up like, you were doing PI work on her. Well, you were doing PI work on her. I have to prove they're all doing PI work on each other. I mean, we've got it going on multiple franchises now, multiple cities. And it's hilarious. It's a hilarious peek into how these women really get once they get on these shows. It makes them fucking crazy. It makes them nuts. And they start hiring private investigators and planting stories about each other and making friends with the bloggers. And then before you know it, it's just like the whole internet is involved in these plots. And it's a cluster. And today we're seeing the ultimate melting pot of all of that chaos coming together.
You know, we often joke when Game of Thrones or House of the Dragons, when we're doing Winter's Crappening, we often joke with people like, oh yeah, well, you know, it's not so crazy that we cover that show because it's really not that different from the Real Housewives. Ha 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 ha. There's backstabbing, you know, fighting, blah 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 blah, dragons. But the truth is that when you watch this episode and you see like how Tamara and Shannon are in this feud and they are basically doing whatever they can to bring people to their sides and to slander people who they perceive as enemies or allies of their enemies. And it's like this crazy political maneuvering, basically because of their feud. It really is honestly like watching House of the Dragons, like a very blonde, vapid House of the Dragons. And it's, you know, it's wild. I mean, because that's what we're watching. We're watching a friendship that is on the outs at the moment, and they're just sowing destruction amongst their friend group purely to get back at each other. And in the end, all these people will be mad at each other. And then Shannon and Tamara will be like,
I just care about you so much. I mean, you're my sister. And it kills me when you act like that. I don't want to fight anymore.
And then everyone else is going to be like at each other's throats and be like, these fucking bitches.
That is 100% true. They're going to end up making up because they understand what it's like to go this deep, you know? And
they go really so deep.
They are going so deep to fuck each other over.
And it's amazing to watch it. It really is.
It is.
And
it's
see it all exposed. And then just watch them just shamelessly exposing each other. And they're doing it in such a way that's like, who cares? So what? We exposed each other, you know? And no one's even surprised. That's the thing. And even the kids are getting messy. It's like, wait a minute. The kids were deep throat. It's like the kids were on the phone the whole time with Page Six. You know what I mean?
This is bringing in children. It's bringing in the FBI. I mean, Prince Charles, you can make an King Charles, you can make an argument, was somehow brought and he was invoked at one point. The point is,
that Page Six is like, we've got some serious information about Gina abusing her boyfriend, and it came from someone named Shane Face. So let's just go with it.
I just was watching. I was like, that's wild. Also, ironically, I was in Orange County last night. So maybe I just was really just really feeling it. I have to say, so I went, Matt Maher from the Reality Gaze podcast, who we love, he gave me a ticket to see Ina Garten be interviewed by Julie Louis-Dreyfus down in Irvine. So I went down there, and I was so amused by the fact that this giant performing arts center, almost everyone was blonde. You were either blonde or you had white hair. And then there was me. And I was like, yep, Orange County, here we are.
Yep. There you are, straight in the right in the mothership of the
It was wonderful. Sure. It was great because I really was like, the truth is, I am in a giant theater full of lady bens. Like, everyone here is like basically a blonde lady version of me. And I was kind of excited by it.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a really good time. Really good time. Blondes, little Ina. Hope she mentioned pavlovas because we haven't heard that enough this week. Okay, so let's get to it. So Jen is hilarious. So last week she started. Well, she really became a hero of the internet last week, a folk hero, because she went in and just let Tamara have it, and it was so lovely to see the coming out of Jen. You know, it was her big moment. And on The Housewives, she did it great, and now she can't stop. Now she's addicted.
Yeah,
and in seriously every scene she's just yelling at Tamara. It's so funny because it's so inappropriate. It's like, here we are at breakfast, everybody. Oh, shut up, Tamara, I've had enough of you. I will not listen to another word you say. Eggs Benedict, eggs don't addict. How about that? Eggs don't addict. Is that a good one, everybody?
You want to talk about addicts? How about we talk about Ryan? It's like,
Jen was just not having it.
Would
you guys Jen like more water or coffee or anything before I bring your check?
You know what? I would like Tamara to have some manners. Can I order that? Okay, Jen.
Trying to finish up with breakfast here.
How about some pancakes? I'll tell you about pans and cakes. I would like to pan a review for Tamara and throw a cake in her face right now. I've had enough of her. I know it was a stretch, but I'm new at this. So we pick back up in the middle of this fight. So Jen has just stormed off. So Heather goes pokes her head out into the hallway and goes, Jen, are you still here? She goes, you know what? I am still here. Oh, good. I was wondering if you could bring me a coffee. Thank you so much. You are the maid, right?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to bring. I'm going to bring some telling off of Tamara. Oh, God. No. You don't have to do that. Jen marches back in. And she's like, and another thing.
I am not interested anymore. Heather goes, I hear you. Can you just give me a second? Okay. Can we not yell? And Tamara, can we, don't clap. And she's like,
yes, she was yelling.
Okay. Don't clap.
Don't do that. Okay. Reba's not here. We are in the middle of takes. We don't have clapping now. Okay.
It's like what Wendy Malick told the live audiences before every time I came on stage. Do not clap.
And just like, she can do whatever she wants. If she wants to clap, that's the only thing she knows how to do. Clap, clap, mm-hmm. clap. Clap, 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 Tamara. It's like, all right. Let's all calm down. Let's all just calm down a second.
Talk shit about me. Talk shit about Ryan. And then cry that you fucking love me. You don't fucking love anything about me. Which, by the way, like, this feels like it should be like a monologue in like gay lore. Just that line alone sounds like it's just something that we gays will be reciting for like 50 years. Talk about love. You don't love a single thing about me. So Tamara's like, I'm not going to talk to you while you were yelling. I love when Tamara Tamara having the balls to pull that line, I'm not going to talk to you while you're yelling, when she has spent most of this season acting like a cocained up chipmunk, screaming at everyone. It is hilarious.
Yeah.
I don't know what a cocained up chipmunk is like, but I'm imagining it's like
a possum. Camera.
Possum.
Yeah, possum. Possum on a dumpster.
Coked up possum. Possum found some coke.
So she's like, here's the thing. Nothing new has happened. This was 2 years ago.
You know, when it's not Heather, she leans back. She does this with her hands. Like she's swatting away a ball. She's like, whatever, it was 2 years ago. Who even cares? Really? Because you were caught with the paparazzi like 2 years ago, weren't you? Or a year and a half ago. But it's still extremely important to you to discuss that, Heather, you fucking hypocrite. And Tamara, she's like, yes, 2 years ago. But you're also negating the fact that Shannon had a hand in this. And that is why we need to call the loony bin on Shannon and have her 5150, everybody. Finally, we're going to finally make this come true.
So Jen tells us, Heather, somebody says you stage paparazzi pictures and you freak out. You're going to sit here and defend Tamara on this. Get out of Tamara's ass and be your own person. So then she says, the fact that I thought that for years you were a friend, Tamara, I was the idiot. Well, I mean, we could have told you that a long time ago, Jen, but I'm glad you're seeing it now.
Yeah. For so many reasons. Jen calls it, you know, she's like, you know, Heather stages paparazzi pictures. She's accused of that and she freaks out. But now Tamara's fine doing this, you know. And so Jen's like, fuck you. You don't have a soul, Tamara. I mean, I don't even understand you, Tamara. By the way,
that's not nice.
Everybody, can I just say, everybody who's in this room, thank you so much for letting me get this out. Now, fuck you, Tamara. Still fuck you.
Okay, you know what, Jen? That is not nice what you just said, that she doesn't have a soul. Everyone knows that I'm the one who's soulless. So Tamara is like,
you know, we were not in a good place last year. We even admit that. We acknowledge that, bitch.
And Jen goes, well, when you're not in a good place, you go on background checks and things like that. And Heather goes, she didn't do a background check. Just be careful. Your math's gotten you into trouble before. And Jen has like her finger out and she's like, it's fun because she has her finger at, and it's like she's never used it before. So it's like this little magic wand that she has that's sort of like shaking and moving around. And she's like, whoa, I didn't know I could even do this sort of thing with my finger. It's so accusatory. I love it.
The finger point is powerful once you learn it, you know?
Yeah.
And Tamara's like, okay, here's what's going on. 2 years ago, I was at the gym and a guy came up to me and said, I was friends with Ryan. It's got a big dick. He kept sending it to me. But he kept sending it to me. It was always flaccid. I was like, I want to see it. It was so flaccid. It was such a flaccid.
Tamara, stay on topic.
Okay, back to my monologue. Doodly-doo. Doodly-doo.
Oh, are we doing Anything Goes? I know how this goes. Doodly-doo. Doodly-doo. Anything goes. Anything goes.
Well, I couldn't believe he would show his face after he was named in a lawsuit for selling timeshares in another country, and they weren't building them, and they were collecting the HOA money for it. And people would go to jail for it. And so I sent that to Shannon, and then Shannon said, oh my God, you got to give this information to Leslie Bedore's ex-husband because he's named in a lawsuit.
So she's saying you have to get information on this because Leslie Bedore's ex-husband was named in a lawsuit. Okay, so
This is already very messy out of the gate. You have to admit, this is wild. We're just dropping.
Orange County really is connected. I mean, they're all connected to each other, which is hilarious. Shannon's like, wait a minute, this gossip involves David's new wife. So Shannon was just asking for information before this gets so convoluted. Yes, Shannon wanted it investigated, but only to use against Leslie Bedore. She didn't give a shit about Ryan. Why would she? She didn't give a shit about Jenna Ryan. She wanted to get at Leslie Bedore. So just to get that out on the table.
Yes. Yes. Also, I don't know why Tamara didn't try to explain any of this to Jen. Like when Jen comes in hot like that, why is Tamara not like, Jen, I know you like, okay, let me tell you the story. And like, but like Tamara like waits and then tells it behind her back. So then Tamara tells us, you know,
Sean asked me, do you know anybody that can look into this lawsuit? And I go, well, I have a friend that's a lawyer and I can maybe have him check it out, bitch.
So now we see screenshots and there's talk back and forth. And basically the screenshots say, it's basically, we see that Shannon's like, can we do a background check? Like, that's the TLDR on that one is Shannon does in fact ask, and I am chuckling. I'm like, this show is so fucked up. Because this is the second episode in a row that they've done this to us. Last episode, it was the whole thing with Heather and the mammogram. And then it turns out, oh, Heather had actually texted this thing the night before. And now this one, we have Jen all whipped into a frenzy about Tamara doing a background check. And it turns out Shannon was the one who actually asked for it, even though her motive was something different. Shannon was the one who asked for the background check. And then it's like, well, this is what Tamara does. She runs background checks. The twists and turns keep coming.
Yeah, but Tamara was the one who used the information. Shannon didn't. Shannon didn't give a shit. She's not using the information. And to me, it's like all back to the Lucy apple juice stuff. You can accuse her of shit, but Shannon didn't use anything. I mean, they're accusing her of, oh, she wanted to know about Travis so she could use it at you, use it against you at the reunion. Okay, well, even if that's true, she didn't use it against her at the reunion. So there was no crime committed. It's not a crime to want to do something, you know?
Right. I think the point is more like, and believe me, I'm not on Tamara's side with any of this, but I think the point is like Shannon really does lead Jen down a path where like Tamara is so vindictive that she just decided to run a background check on Ryan. And it's like, no, but Shannon, you were part of that too. Like, you basically were the one who got the ball rolling on that. So it's just so funny how they use this information.
Kind of, but Tamara's the one who said, I heard something from my guy in the gym that this guy has illegal timeshares and he's doing this and that. And Tamara said,
that's true too.
Shannon was the one who said, okay, fine, then look it up. But Tamara's still the one who started all of this shit. She's still the one who did it.
Yeah.
Like, she needed 100%. Shannon to tell her to do a background check. She would have been doing that shit anyway. Give me a break.
100%. I'm just saying Shannon was real sly in removing herself from her role in this, which, I mean, I'm just chuckling. Yeah. I mean, these two are just ridiculous.
Yeah, they're a pair. They're quite a pair.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
In a quiet suburb, a community is shattered by the death of a beloved wife and mother. But this tragic loss of life quickly turns into something even darker. Her husband had tried to hire a hitman on the dark web to kill her. And she wasn't the only target. Because buried in the depths of the internet is the kill list, a cache of chilling documents containing names, photos, addresses, and specific instructions for people's murders. This podcast is the true story of how I ended up in a race against time to warn those whose lives were in danger. And it turns out convincing a total stranger someone wants them dead is not easy. Follow Kill List on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Kill List and more Exhibit C true crime shows like Morbid early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. Check out Exhibit C in the Wondery app for all your true crime listening.
Have you ever wondered who created that bottle of sriracha that's living in your fridge? Or why nearly every house in America has at least one game of Monopoly? Introducing the best idea yet, a brand new podcast from Wondery and T-Boy about the surprising origin stories of the products you're obsessed with and the bold risk takers who brought them to life. Like, did you know that Super Mario, the best-selling video game character of all time, only exists because Nintendo couldn't get the rights to Popeye? Or Jack, that the idea for the McDonald's Happy Meal first came from a mom in Guatemala? From Pez dispensers to Levi's 501s to Air Jordans, discover the surprising stories of the most viral products. Plus, we guarantee that after listening, you're going to dominate your next dinner party. So follow the best idea yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to the best idea yet early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. It's just the best idea yet.
So then Eddie's like, yeah, well, Eddie said to send the info in writing to production so there's a paper trail.
So Eddie's fucking messy too. Eddie's been enough years in this game that he's like, get it to production.
Yeah. So wait, you keep going because I lost track of where we actually are in the notes here because there's a lot going on.
So Shanna's like, well, apparently blank is suing blank for child support, for back child support. Can your friend look up the case?
And I guess this is she's talking about her ex. And so Tamara's like, they need to know Ryan and his ex-partners are dangerous. And Shanna says, because this stuff is going to come. And I don't want it potentially assumed that anyone in my family brought it out. So you look it up.
She didn't say so you look it up. I guess I should read verbatim since this is the text. And then Tamara's like,
well, I don't know if Ryan went to jail. Blank needs to know what they're dealing with. I'm asking my friend's husband if he can do a background check.
Okay, so it's Tamara still is the one who came up with background check.
So Tamara's like, if Shannon would have known, Jen would have shown Jen the entire text message. Oh, that's right. It would incriminate Shannon, bitch. Shannon was equally as concerned as I was. That Ryan's a shady motherfucker. It's not the type of people I want to surround myself with.
As if Tamara surrounds herself with, the most high-minded, non-tacky, non-awful people in Orange County.
Yeah, only the classy people.
Yes. Were they at my baptism in a swimming pool? That's the only way I speak. Those are the only people I trust.
So Heather's like, well, you didn't tell her the story like that. She's like, no, I'm not going to because she's screaming and yelling. She wants to listen to me. I will talk to her, bitch.
But that's the problem. It's hard when you're with somebody and they just fucking light you up about something. She's like, look at me. I'm listening to you. I'm listening to you. 27 toothpicks. 27 toothpicks. Hey, Tamara, focus. You're not Rain Bitch. Okay. What were we talking about?
The most important part of all this, which is that her stomach looks really good. I had envy. And Tamara's like, yeah, it's like a tummy tuck. We don't talk about people's surgeries, only that they had them and that they should use Terry.
Well, so, she had no belly button, but she didn't see. I didn't know
that. So now Jen goes to Katie's room and she's like, hi, what are you doing? Do you have a minute? She's like, well, I'm about to get dressed. Are you okay? Are you leaving? What's wrong? I don't know. Maybe I need to take a walk or something. Wow, I've never seen you act like this. So yeah, let's go have a drink. So then we go out to Shannon. So Shannon, meanwhile, goes out to a park and she meets up with her daughters, which is wild because, you know, it's that weird thing where kids go off to college and then like within like 2 months, they look like completely different people.
Yes.
Wow. Like we're adults and we're fucking now. We have berets. I'm like, whoa.
I know. And then one of them has like lost her voice. So now she really seems like she's 35. She's like, hi, mom. How's it going? Things in Paris are great.
And I shouldn't say they're fucking, but they're just like, oh my God, I need a man, mom. It's like, whoa. And Shannon just is like, I'm dressed like a first lady. How dare you disrespect me like that?
All the Orange County has been leached out of them. You know, the Parisian one is, it's not that she looks Parisian, but she definitely doesn't look Orange County anymore. And the one that's going to Parsons now looks like New York. And I can only imagine what their interactions are with their older sisters since I forget the older sister's name, but she's like down in Texas. She's been with a guy since she was like, you know, like 19. They're probably gonna get married, live in Texas, have like, they're clearly more conservative leaning. And I just feel like when they all get together for family dinners or like Thanksgiving, I feel like it's probably some like, you know, future play that's gonna be on Broadway. I can imagine like tension and political disagreements.
Yeah.
And I love it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So
what do you know? You never even left Texas. Oh, I don't need to leave Texas. I don't have to go all the way across the world to find happiness, Stella.
So Shannon's like, wow, who would have ever thought I would be able to see both my daughters in Chimney Sweep London?
Whoa, how do you do? Curtsy.
Like, mom, please stop. All right. Can't take this.
Come on, you want to go and get something to eat? I'm going to have a storyline about not being able to push it out later, so let's make it carby.
Okay, let's go to this restaurant. It's called Sticky Mango, which, okay, that sounds great. I would love to eat a place called Sticky Mango in London. And so they sit there and they order, I was concerned, because one of them orders like pad thai and the other one orders like roasted baked potatoes. I was like, I don't know what's going on with this menu. Anytime that happens, sometimes on these shows they go to restaurants and the menus just do not make sense.
Yeah, and it's London, so you never know, they could have tasted exactly the same. No offense, London, love you.
No offense, but we know there's gonna be no seasoning.
Of course, we come from the country of sodium, so you know, yeah, we understand all angles of this London. Okay, so so they're talking about the girls, and Stella asks about how Shanna's doing with the girls. She's like,
"Well, that hasn't been very good, you know. The stuff that's going on with Tamara and I they've just not been very kind to me. London's been fine, but the girls have been." Not very kind to me.
Typical. It's a toxic relationship, toxic friendship, mother. You guys were very close last year, and now she's switching it up. It's BS. It's like I was telling my old friend, Jodine. I was like, you know what? My mother's got it real bad right now. She's got a bad toxic relationship. I said, mother, you got to get out of that trailer park and come out here to Paris.
Shanna's like, well, have you met any boys? I've had my fair share. She's like, oh, I wish I didn't hear that. But.
Yeah, there was Johnny, but he left me because he added life on the road with his band. And then there was Paul. He was a truck driver, came through Paris once in a while. We had a good time. A lot of guys, mother.
A little bit of Joey in my life.
I fell in love with a man named Francois, which was very on the nose for someone from France. But either way, he played the marionettes. And we don't play the marionettes. He had marionettes. Anyway, I fell in love with him. He died. So anyway, mother, what's going on with you? He fell into the Seine. His feet got tangled up in the marionette strings, and that was then for Francois.
And Adelaide goes, yeah, you'd be surprised. I'm honestly pretty dry right now. It's like, well,
you're all single ladies.
I think I'm tired of this. I don't know what they did on the train to you from Paris.
Mother, when I say we're all single ladies, that's your chance to do the song.
Oh, sure. Okay. Oh, say, can you see?
Not the national anthem, mother. Jeez, come on, Beyonce.
I'm not familiar.
I've met. Was she before or after Neil Diamond?
All right, so now we go to Heather and Tamara walking down a London sidewalk. And Heather's like, wow, it feels good to walk, doesn't it? Just kidding. Alfredo, get up here. I'm walking. Two bus boys come up and just lift her above their shoulders.
Walk me.
So they go into a caviar spot called Caviar House. They sit down. They get a table for three because I forget which was going to join them. I think Gina, which is hilarious. So Heather's like, this is my kind of place. So they settle in and everything, and they order some drinks. And then Gina does, in fact, join.
Hi. Oh, my God. This is so nice. I had some work stuff. I had a deal fall apart, which is always fun. It's really sad. I was going to sell this hot dog shack, and it just fell through. So, oh, well.
I guess it's just going to have to stay in the kiosk.
I guess someone else is going to have, guess we're going to have to find a new buyer for the piercing pagoda.
Really rough. But God, ever since I left the office, all I can hear is hot dog, 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 hot dog. Okay, please stop. It gets in your head. It's an earworm.
Apparently the buyers didn't like that I built a wall in the middle of the kitchen. So Tamara's like, well, guess what?
I got a surprise visit. Oh my God, was it Gina Keough? No.
By the way, I think the reason why Gina Keough jumped into my mind is that someone on the internet, God, sometimes the internet's amazing. I think someone on TikTok made this video, which I think was like AI. Definitely was AI, but it was one of these things where it made an 80s version. I don't know if it was like a filter or AI, whatever, but they made a little video that took cast members from Real Housewives of Orange County and gave it like this 80s soap opera look. Did you see this, Ronnie?
No, I haven't seen it.
So it was like the opening credits to like a nighttime soap from the 80s. And it took all the OC cast members and also Archie, which is kind of funny. And also some previous cast members. and it sort of 80s-ified them. And so they, you would see them all, and it was like, oh, there's an 80s version of Tamra, an 80s version of Gina. And they were all like the essence of these people, but because it was AI, they all looked kind of off or different. And it was like, that's Gretchen, but it's not Gretchen, you know? And it was hilarious. But the best part about it is that they put up Gina Keough, and Gina Keough looked exactly the same. I love that 80s AI Gina Keough is the exact same as Gina Keough. I mean, you could make an argument that 80s AI, anyone from Orange County on the show Real Housewives of Orange County, is basically the same version, but it was like the Gina Keough one was absolutely. Like, I was like, oh, AI didn't have to do anything. They didn't have to do any rendering.
Classic. I love that. Funny. Okay. Yeah, I need to go check that out. Okay, so then so Gina's like, yeah, you know, okay, from who'd you get the surprise visit from? Was it Gina Keough, Vicky, Neil Diamond? No.
Neil Diamond, who is that bitch?
So she's like, it was Jen. And Jen goes, oh, I know. She's agitated.
Agitated is not even the word for it.
So then we cut over elsewhere into old London town where Emily, Jen, and Katie are walking down the street. And Emily's like, how do you cross the streets here? Do you push the button or just go? And Jen's like,
streets are so different in London. Do people just walk out into the middle of the street? There must be a lot of fat people with funny accents. Hey, everybody, I've got a muffin in my purse. This is hilarious.
Jen's like, let's just go. Excuse me, double-decker bus. You don't get to do that. You are soulless. You are wrong in this situation. I've had enough out of you. It's like, wow, she really has changed.
I'm going to double-deck Tamra. That's who's about to get double-decked.
So Emily's holding up her hand. She's like, this is how we stop it. Stop! Stop! I'm an attorney.
All right. So then they go to a place called Burlington Arms, and Emily's like, where are the coats? Where are the coats? Burlington Arms. So so anyway, they sit down, they order some food. Jen orders Malibu and Diet Coke, because that's like her signature cocktail, which is great for her. And she does this whole spiel about, like, I don't care what city I'm in. I'm getting Malibu and Diet Coke. Love singer, I love that. Howard.
Malibu? You do? Malibu? You have it here? Crazy.
I can't believe they were able to procure a very popular and common alcohol in this foreign land.
Wait a minute. You have Diet Coke? What? My day has just improved immensely. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Do you know what I'd appreciate if you'd not keep in stock? Tamra Barney, what a monster.
You know what? I don't care if I'm at the beach in the Bahamas or in the town of London. I am drinking a Malibu and Diet Coke because I've been to China and
that's Newport it, really.
Beach. That's it, China. Really. I went to the Bahamas
and Vegas.
I've been to Fashion Square and Laguna Beach and Sensations in Huntington. I've driven to Redondo and seen Los Angeles and gone down the 405. I've been to San Clemente and San Juan Capistrano and Tustin Auto Mall. I've been to Orange County, but I've never been to me.
Wait a minute. Why are you giving me the check? Please leave. Please just go. So Jen's like, oh, so this morning, Tamra said, I'm sorry to do this to you. But then she digs people up. And then here you go. Oh, you want to see? It was a text thread of Tamra saying, I'm having my best friends run a background check on him. That's what she did.
And Emily goes, on Ryan.
No, Emily, on the fucking bartender.
Okay. On Carol Burnett. Okay.
I found out all that. Every time she tucks her ear, it has nothing to do with her mother, bitch. I know all the truth.
So Jen is like, yeah, it was on Ryan and Carol Burnett. She hits everyone. And I literally, Emily, I lost my fucking mind.
I don't blame you.
You know, when Tamara doesn't respect someone, there's no boundaries. None. Zero. Sorry, Jen. She doesn't respect you and she doesn't respect Ryan.
So then we go back to the other girls and Gina's like, oh my God, I saw the text messages. This is bad. I mean, because Tamara, honestly, if you would do that to her, what would you do to, what would you do it to me? Would you do it to Heather? I mean, I'm being honest here. I'm being honest. And you know what? I just don't like relish on my hot dog, hot dog, hot dog, hot dog, hot. I'm sorry. I can't get it out of my head. Please stop.
Are you a con man like him?
So then we go back to Emily, the others, and Emily's like, you know, you are an adult woman, and this is the person that you chose, and he is good to you, and he's good to your children, and he's good to those fine people who sell jean jackets with paint on them. Someone's got to buy them, and he steps up to the plate, and I think that's amazing.
Well, now I do. I mean, I think it's kind of pathetic the rest of the season, but now it's fine.
Just like, well, 100%. Thank you. So then back to the other girls. Gina's like, you know, Tamara, you know what I'm saying? It's a problem. You know what I mean? And Heather's like, I do not condone digging things up on anyone. Why do you think I'm so disgusted with Katie? Oh, my God. This isn't about you, Heather.
She's like, finally, I get to bring it back. I do not condone digging up things on anyone. In fact, I also just don't condone digging. That's for other people to do. Alfredo, we need you to dig something. So, yeah, she's like, Katie, who tried to do that 6 months before she ever met me. Don't forget, I'm the victim here today as well.
And Gina's like, oh, my God, I can't believe what a liar Katie is. That's not good. And Tamara's like, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something. My turn. Tell me. I went candlemaking with Katie and our daughters. And Kelly said, wait a minute, Kelly's the one that's 19, right? Yeah. And she said,
so we were allowed to talk about her on camera, and she is a full adult, and she no longer qualifies for do not, children are out of off limits.
Exactly.
Yeah. And she said to me that she was Emily's kids. And then we see Keller and Luke, Emily's 9-year-old twins, playing rock, paper, scissors. And Tamara's like, and then she said, I have to tell you something. And Katie's like, yeah, listen to this. And then we see Callie.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So, yeah, now we're back in the candle-making scene, which was a lovely scene when we watched it. Little did we realize it was actually a sneaky little setup for another venomous storyline. Yeah. So, Katie goes, oh, Tamara, listen to this. And Callie's like, I was like, oh, yeah. Do you, like, have you met a lot of your mom's friends? Like, my mom is just getting to know everybody. And they're like, yeah, but we don't really like Heather. And I was like, what? Why? And they're like, because she's mean to our mom and she yells at her a lot. And then they're like, yeah, our mom says Heather's bossy. So Callie says this, which honestly, Katie should not have encouraged Callie to say this on camera. I think that was really tacky. And I just also like, just don't let Callie's 19, but don't do this, especially saying it to Tamara. But of course, who would have thought it was a nice mother-daughter candle-making session. And now here it is. It's back.
Well, you know, earlier this week, we had a kid thing. Like, the kids, I would never, ever gossip in front of my children. How dare you? I would never talk about what's going on with the girls in front of the children. I would never do it. Well, yes, you would. Every mother does it. What, every mother waits to gossip while their kids are gone? Give me a fucking break. I mean, I knew everything going on in our house. I sat with those tennis ladies every night, and I didn't drink
the wine. I knew.
They drank the wine, and I got every bit of tea.
Same. But also, like, I'm sure we could probably go through the archives and find all the shit that Tamara's talked in front of her son, Ryan. Okay, let's be honest. There are probably many, many scenes of it whatsoever.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said whatsoever. Whatsoever. There are many scenes of it. Whatsoever. That was like very Gina of me. You know what? There's a lot of scenes of that. Whatsoever.
So let's see. So Emily, Heather's like, Emily's kid said that. I'm so popular with the children.
But on television's Heather Dubrow.
So Tamara goes, yeah, Emily's kid said that. And I thought, you know, I thought I was a good judge of character. You know, me implying like, oh, I liked Emily. I thought I was a good judge of character. Tamara's saying that she's a good judge of character when she's in feud number 45 with her best friend, either Vicky or Shannon, but then also claiming she's a good judge of character. I'm not sure about that.
Don't you have to have good character first? I mean, isn't it like becoming a judge? Because to be a judge, you actually have to be a lawyer first. You're not just a judge. You know what I mean? You have to
be a lawyer. Based on my ballot, it's like I feel like on the ballot, it's like, well, you know, Gerard Kropotchnik, who worked at a goldfish shop, is running for a judge at the 45th district. I'm like,
oh, is that true? I thought you had to like be a lawyer first. Okay, well, I take it back. I mean, what do I know? Jeez, what an absolute moron.
You have to, but sometimes it feels like some of these judges, I'm like, where'd you come from?
Wow. Okay. Well,
I could be wrong. Please don't learn about our government through me. Okay, everyone. But do vote, but don't learn about the government from me. So Tamara's like, yeah, I thought I was a good judge of character. And Tamara's like, you know, there's something deceiving about her. So Heather goes, children, repeat what they hear in the house. You know, hold on. Careful the words you say. Children will listen. I sang that in the attic in Syracuse many times over.
And Gina's like, oh my God, I know Sheen. And even if Emily was in a house talking shit about you because you guys were in a fight that day, her children would never be around her when she did it. I know her. She's got such good morals.
I'm like, give me a fucking break. But you're all such trash acting like you suddenly have morals around your children. Please.
Yeah. I believe that Emily and probably Shane aspire to not talk about adult affairs around their kids. I also believe they don't realize how much they're actually talking shit around their household. And I also believe that these kids are exposed to a lot of people that say shit. And I would not be surprised if there are people, I mean, their parents are on TV. I would not be surprised if somehow it kind of percolates back down into them about Heather Dubrow. So like, this is not like, to me, this is not surprising. This is the risk of when you're going on these shows. You cannot insulate your children, especially apparently in Orange County.
Oh, yeah. Especially not in Orange County. That's where shit really gets vile. They're really getting into it over there. So then Tamara is back, flashback to 2 weeks earlier, because Tamara's like, well, I had breakfast with him. And we see breakfast with Emily and Gina and Tamara. And she's like, Katie's daughter told me that the twins said, we don't like Heather. She's mean to my mom. And Emily said, well, that's not true. And my boys told me that Callie told them Heather's mean. And I said, don't ever say that again. She'll beat us all up and push us into lockers. We'll never work again. She's horrible. I'm sorry. Did I just say that? Hold on. I have a taco in my purse.
Wow. Wow.
So Emily is saying the boys said that Callie actually was the one who's planting these ideas. I mean, it is possible, but also like,
I love Callie. I don't know if your children.
Yeah. It's like, she's the gossip of kids. I don't know, but like, isn't it like, aren't the kids like famous for literally fabricating stories all the time? Like this is a big thing that happens when children are witnesses. That I remember learning about this when I took psychology class in college, that like kids are like deeply unreliable witnesses, and we like to think they're actually being really honest because they're kids, so they just sort of say it as like what comes, but actually kids change their stories all the time. I'm not necessarily saying that these kids are lying, but I feel like it's good to take a big grain of salt when you're talking to kids about this stuff, because they will also say whatever it takes to get out of trouble, okay?
Crazy that you learned that in college. You're so smart. I learned that from watching Law and Order as I was dropping out of high school. So it's funny how we just get to similar places. But yeah, don't trust children. Children are not trustworthy. They're evil.
It's just... like, monsters. To me, honestly, if I were... Okay, if I'm listening to these two stories, one is that the kids say, like, Heather's mean to our mom. Like, I believe, and like, Kelly's telling the story because it's funny that these kids said it. Like, that makes sense that she would tell that story. But my kids, like, hey, did you say this thing? You're in trouble. No, she told us to say that. Like, what story are you going to believe?
Yeah. Not the kid. Just don't believe the kid. I mean, they believe in Santa Claus, little idiots, which goes to show us that you know who else is a liar? Parents. Adults are liars as well, because look what we feed. No wonder children are liars. No wonder we all grow up to be liars. We're like, it's totally fine. We're allowed to lie to you because of these stipulations. You were young and stupid, but now we have to tell you because you're 10 or whatever it is. By the way, I hope I didn't ruin anything for anyone driving their children to school. But if I did, you know what? Toughen up. Just so that
Callie told us to tell you. But Callie did it. But so anyway, I think that ultimately, though, still, Katie is like, it's not, Callie should not have brought that up on camera. And Katie should not have been like, wait, do you hear this? Katie should have shut that down right away. However, I actually think the bigger villain, surprise, surprise, in this situation is Tamara, because Tamara's the one. Sort of going right back to what we're talking about before, Tamara's the one who's actually weaponizing this. She's using this thing with the kids and she's bringing it onto the show and she's using it in a way that people have to take sides and get angry about what the kids did. And it should just be like the thing with the kids, just like, just leave it. Just leave it. And she is actually using it as a tool to get back. She wants to get at Katie because Katie is friends with Jen, right? So she's going to now villainize Katie as well to punish Jen.
And Callie too, which is so fucked up because she's really, that whole lunch was like, oh my God, our daughters are both awkward and have no friends. And so we should really get together so that our daughters can bond. And like, they had this really bonding moment of like, let's get our kids together. And now she's like, oh yeah, do you know what her weirdo daughter with no friends did?
Yeah, she's now promoting a narrative that Callie is going around telling 8-year-olds that Heather Dubrow is mean. I'm like, listen, they could just rent Coraline.
I'm sorry for the evil laugh, but like, I literally cannot help it.
This is such a messy episode. Do you realize what we're talking about right now? We went from background checks and FBI, and now we're talking about some, like, you know, who's correct here? The 2 8-year-olds or the 19-year-old? Like, what? It's fucked up.
Literally hilarious. Like, I can't. I love it. Okay, so then what? Where are we here? Okay, so then Tamara's like,
Katie's so calculated. She's got a heart on for Heather. I thought she was a really sweet girl, but then Gina pushed her into giving out all this information, and now I feel bad for blaming Gina, because the whole time, it was Katie. It was Katie all along, bitch.
It was you all along. This has all been you. Every single thread in this has been pulled by you, man. So
I am out with her. To use your child as a megaphone is a different kind of insanity. Not even Wendy Malick would do that. Well, maybe she would. You know what? To be fair, I think she 100% would. I have had it.
That woman is a real bitch, come to think of it. So then we go to back to Jen. So Jen's in her room now talking to Ryan. And she's like, oh, well, hi, Ryan. Are you there? Ryan, you better picked up earlier, you motherfucker. Oh, I'm so sorry. It's just, I'm on a roll. Anyway, everything I questioned about Tamara, no more questioning. We're not friends. It was all bullshit. He's like, yeah, she's got no soul. And I said that today. I said, you've got no soul. And guess what I've got? Malibu with Diet Coke. Snuffy, Tamara. That's my drink. And you're not going to tell me not to have it.
And then when I said it, Heather Dubrow was like, okay, that's low. And I was like, it's actually not low enough, Heather Dubrow. And then I was like, that rhymed. And I was like, I do have soul, because only people with soul can rhyme. And I was like, see ya. And I dropped the mic, except it was actually my Malibu and Diet Coke. And I was like, fuck, that was the last one in the country. It's been a rough day.
He's like, okay, well, have a great night. So then over with Heather and Tamara, they're getting their hair done. And Heather's like, before dinner, we're going to etiquette class. That's it. I don't want to hear anything about it.
I'd like to point out that the last time they had an etiquette class on The Real Housewives of Orange County, amazingly was the same episode as Naked Wasted. Isn't that wild?
Is that true?
It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. I remember when we actually did a live recap of Naked Wasted a few years ago. And I remember we talked about the etiquette class, and I went back, I verified it. I was like, the entire time I was like, this is the crazy. I'm like, this episode's already like up there to me as Naked Wasted. And then I was like, oh my God. And then there's an etiquette class as well. I think there's something about Tamara being confronted with good manners that causes her to just go wild. And even though the etiquette class came after the things that we've described, she's in London, which is, you know, I think just to be in the UK, you just feel like your manners have to be better anyway. And I think it just agitates her. I think it just sets her off and she just becomes more, you know, craven in the face of it.
She really does. Do you remember when we were doing that recap and we were thinking, like, oh, let's just find something old. And we saw Naked Wasted. We're like, that sounds funny. I mean, I think this is the one where they got Gretchen drunk on purpose. We were hazy, basically. And then we took the notes and we were like, oh, my God. This was about sexual assault. Like, she was literally trying to sexual assault. And then we were stuck in this recap about sexual assault. My God, that was the worst. And it still turned into a really fun, good show. But oh my
God. Yeah, well, it was wild. That was a wild episode. That we'll never forget that. anyway, they're glam. And then meanwhile, elsewhere, Shannon says goodbye to her daughters. I'm like, bye, Mom! And then Jen and Katie and Shannon walk through the lobby. Because they're going to be going to like Windsor Castle today, and Shannon has not pooped in 3 days, and says she's bloated and she's hurt and she's backed up and constipated.
Yeah. So she's like, oh my God,
I mixed two scenes together. They are sitting down for the etiquette class. I apologize. That's where we're at.
Oh, okay. They're just talking about the poop.
So yeah, I have not been successful. I haven't gone to the bathroom in days, and I'm having some pains, flames on the side of my face. There is a bit of bloat going on. I'm backed up. Hold on. I'm backed up.
So they all sit, and then a lady comes over. She's like, hello, ladies. I'm Laura Acamo, and I'm going to be teaching you English. Dining etiquette this evening. Katie's like, oh my God, I love that. And everyone else is like, oh my God, was this a fucking Heather event? Who else would do this?
So then Emily, she's like, all right, I'll be ready to start the English table etiquette. And Emily's like, oh my God, you said that. Hello, everyone. That laxative is kicking in. I'm going to shit my brains out any second now. What are we doing? Etiquette?
Hold on, I've got a Subway sandwich in my Emily. Enough you. So then they are talking about pooping some more, Emily and Katie, and Emily's earlier in the day was talking about how nothing, she can't poop, but then Katie gave her the laxative, so now she can't stop pooping. So then Shannon's like, poop pills? And Katie's like, yes. And so now they're talking about poop, and this lady's like,
ladies, you're not talking about,
I've got to go poop, I'm about to shit the world, that's what I'm about to shit. How do you do that politely?
Who needs etiquette in our group the most? Well, this notion that Katie has to spread lies about people, and now her daughter is doing it too. First lesson in etiquette class, no. I'm like, okay, you need to relax. So they go through this, you know, they're learning like how to hold a fork and how to hold a knife and how not to be awful people. And
yeah, they don't get to that part, unfortunately. They don't really get past the second fork.
Yeah, they still come out of it sort of acting like cave women. But Jen is like, okay, I may not know where every fork goes, but I do know I have never thrown a napkin in anyone's face, and I've never spit a loogie back in my drink. And I'm doing that right. And then we see footage of Tamara throwing that napkin, which they always show that footage as if Tamara threw a chair across a restaurant. Can you believe it? And then Emily's sitting in
someone's face. So then Laura, who, by the way, this Laura is killing the scene, right? And not in a good way. She's not great. She's not very charismatic. I mean, I don't know if there are charismatic people, but she's just like,
Was Dame Judi Dench busy?
Seriously, like, can we get a Tilda in here? Tilda, I don't even think is English, but I'd take her, you know. And so they keep moving on to the fork, and she's like, "And here's how you eat: your knife and fork stay in your hand." And then they're like, "Wait, what do you mean?" And she goes, "Is that how you eat?" And Heather goes, "That's how I eat." Gina goes, "Wait a minute, the whole time?" No, meaning you don't switch. Oh, well, that's good, because I was about to try and drink my water, and then I would have put myself in the wine.
As Gina grabs the knife with her hand. You know, I was worried. Honestly, there was part of me that was, like, worried I was going to, like, run into Gina at that event last night, because I was like, you know, of all the people, probably Gina would go to, like, an Ina Garten thing at, you know.
Gina?
Yeah, I think she would. I think Gina might do something. She's like, oh, my God, I love her.
She uses
Gina's really more about, Gina's more of a Magnolia table now that I think about it. But either way,
she's like more of a Rachel Ray. Rachel Ray, yeah. Like, just use jarred sauce with regular onions, and then boom, bam, you've got your own recipe.
I thought it might be either Heather at the event or Gina. Heather would be like, someone from the Hamptons is here. I must get there. Or
Heather would be in the back while she's making her nanny watch Ina.
Learn something. I'll be returning texts.
Hello, this is Television's Heather Dubrow. I should be on the list to meet Julie Louise Dreyfus. We are both contemporaries of in the field of acting. So am I on the list to see? Go backstage? No. But I was like, if I read it to Gina, what will I say? Like, if she's like, you guys are so mean to me on your podcast. And I was like, you know what? If I run into her, I know exactly what I would say. I would say, Gina, I know we talk a lot of shit about you. And to that, I say,
I feel bad. I'm sorry.
I feel so bad.
I feel so bad. Didn't have to worry. I think they were actually shooting the reunion yesterday, maybe. Was it yesterday? Were they doing that yesterday? The reunion? Or was it a few days
ago? They've done it. They already did it a while ago. A couple weeks ago, I think.
I'm very current.
Yeah, because Andy said, apparently on his show, he said, it was actually quite calm. And easy, which no one wants to hear, you know?
Yeah, no one wants to hear that at all. So anyway, etiquette. It's happening. It's funny. And they're joking. They're all, you know, bad at it. We see flashbacks of them, you know, violating etiquette in many different areas. And this is how you hold a spoon. This is how you hold a fork, etc. And Tamara's like,
there's so many rules, bitch. Hey, Laura, I heard you talk to Emily's children, said that Heather's mean. Hey, Heather, you're upset now?
She's like, I don't know who these people are. Please hold your fork. Please hold your fork in your right hand. Thank you very much.
Congratulations, you've reached the end of part one of a two-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
We're fanning out for Bethany Fannin.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Ringing the Funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Let's get feely with Maggie Sheely.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger with out the Berg.
Cast a Spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.